I want to extend a welcome this morning. Welcome. And as you know, it's Palm Sunday, and the title of today's sermon would be The Plan and Purpose of God. And we're going to start in John chapter 12, starting at verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. If you would, let's bow our heads to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Father, we just pray that our hearts and minds turn to your word, dear Lord, and that your Holy Spirit have his way today, dear God. Dear Father, help us to truly understand your word. And the pastor prayed earlier to truly be the people you've called us to be, Lord, to love you with all our hearts, our souls, our minds, our strength. And Father, to love one another as we love ourselves, dear Lord. Dear Father, we just pray that the world see Jesus in us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, what we call Palm Sunday occurred 6 days before the crucifixion of Jesus. And this story is recorded in all four gospel accounts. And as a pastor was referencing earlier, everything in the Word that we have is not an accident. Everything in the Scripture is purposeful. So if it's recorded, God wants us to look at it and understand it. Now, Palm Sunday began with Jesus and his disciples traveling over the Mount of Olives. Now, Jesus had sent two disciples to the village of Bethphage. And as Jesus told them they would find, they found an unbroken colt of a donkey. And you can read about that in Luke 19, 29 through 30. Now, when they untied the colt, the owners, of course, questioned them. I expect they were pretty upset. And the disciples responded with the answer that Jesus had told them if they were questioned. The Lord has need of it. Luke 19, 31 through 34. And amazingly, this satisfied the owners, and they let the disciples go, and they allowed them to take the animal. They brought the donkey to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, and sat Jesus upon the animal. Luke 19, 35. Now, as Jesus ascended, a multitude gathered around him. They understood Jesus to be the Messiah, but they did not understand that it was not yet time for him to bring the kingdom. And they did not understand what kind of kingdom Jesus came to bring. Now, Jesus had tried to explain this in Luke 19, 11 through 12. And as Brian alluded to, we'll kind of look at what happened. What happened from going Hosanna to crucify him. The action of the crowd gave rise to the name Palm Sunday. Matthew 21:8 states, "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut branches and spread them on the road." Now, John 12:13 records that these were palm branches specifically. You see, the people were giving Jesus the royal treatment. In 2 Kings 9:13, we see that King Jehu was given this honor at his coronation. So the people are honoring Jesus as king. They also honored Jesus verbally with praise. Matthew 29, verse 9, records the multitude as saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." In their praise of Jesus, the Jewish crowds were referencing Psalm 118, verses 25 through 26, which among the Jews at that time was acknowledged to be a prophecy of the Messiah. In fact, the word Hosanna comes from the Jewish phrase Hoshea, and it only occurs once in the Old Testament, and that is in Psalm 118:25. And the phrase literally means save, please. Now, in referencing this messianic psalm, this drew resentment from the religious leaders. Luke 19:39 records that the religious leaders told Jesus to rebuke his disciples. Now Jesus replied that if they kept quiet, the very stones would cry out, 1940. You see, Jesus knew that the multitudes were speaking the truth, whether they understood that or not. Now, around 450 to 500 years before Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem, the prophet Zechariah had prophesied the event that we call Palm Sunday. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Zechariah 9, verse 9. Now, this is one of 300 Old Testament prophecies that Jesus fulfilled specifically. As Jerusalem welcomed their king, we know, and Jesus knew at the time, this celebration would not last. You see, the crowds were looking for a Messiah to free them politically and nationally. But the plan and purpose of God was much greater than that. Jesus came to save spiritually. He came to establish a kingdom that would last forever. Even as the multitude waved branches and shouted praises, they missed the true reason of Jesus' presence. Now, Jesus knew this. And that's why in Luke 19:41 through 47, we read, "As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known this day, what would bring you peace? But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize God's coming to you.'" And that happened in AD 70 when General Titus and the 10th Roman Legion razed Jerusalem. And they literally pulled the temple apart brick by brick. You see, the gold had melted as they burned the temple and got in between the cracks of the bricks. They literally pulled the temple apart to get all the gold. The multitude that day, they saw the Savior, but they never truly recognized him for who he is. The crowds who cry Hosanna on Palm Sunday were crying out, "Crucify him," later that week. Matthew 27, verses 22 through 23. Now, what I want to focus on is that these events were ordained by the sovereignty of God in order to bring about our salvation. 1 Peter 1:18 through 21 reads, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." The New Living Translation renders the first part of verse 20 as, God chose him as your ransom before the world began, long before the world began. The plan and purpose of God. Acts 2, 22 through 24, and this is part of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost after the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it reads, Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. When God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Verse 23 tells us plainly that Jesus was handed over to the Jewish leaders and then the Romans by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. That Jesus would die for our sins, when he would die, how he would die, who would be involved, were all ordained of God before the physical dimension of time existed. The death of Jesus on the cross was no accident. Every detail was foreordained by God for us, for our salvation. Now, Jesus was aware of this plan. Jesus knew the will of the Father. And Jesus, the Son of Man, was fully submitted to the will of the Father. Now, about a year before the crucifixion, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16, 13, he said, Who do people say the Son of Man is? He then asked them in verse 15, But who do you say that I am? Now in verse 16, we read, Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus acknowledged that revelation from God to Peter, and he warns the disciples that at that time, they're not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Verse 20. Now, verse 21 goes on and reads, From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised on the third day. Now, it said he began to show them those things. He showed them in the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, what they called the Bible back then. In Matthew 20, 18 through 19, Jesus again tells his disciples, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And on the third day, he will rise again. This was God's plan. In Luke 19, 10, before Jesus enters Jerusalem, he says, The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Now, through the events of Palm Sunday, God worked out the details of his plan to bring Jesus to the cross 6 days later. Now, scholars say that the raising of Lazarus, which is in John chapter 11, was about 2 months before Palm Sunday. Now, this was a very powerful sign that Jesus is the resurrection of the life, that he is who he claimed he was. And John, bear in mind, always uses the word sign when Jesus does a miracle. This was also a deliberate challenge to the religious leaders. As the pastor preached on this recently, he points out that it was the raising of Lazarus that instigated the Pharisees wanting to kill Jesus. They saw this as a threat to their power. Now, when Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, fulfilling Scripture as the promised Messiah, the Jewish leaders felt further threatened. When they saw the public demonstration of the people proclaiming Jesus as the King of Israel, the idea that Jesus must die is further set in their minds. We're going to show part of the clip from the Gospel of John that the pastor's been showing. You guys have that queued up?
Six days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from death. They prepared a dinner for him there, which Martha helped serve. Lazarus was one of those who were sitting at the table with Jesus. When Mary took a whole pint of a very expensive perfume made of pure nard, poured it on Jesus' feet, and wet them with her hair. The sweet smell of the perfume filled the whole house. One of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, the one who was going to betray him, said,
"Why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 silver coins? And the money given to the poor?"
He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would help himself from it.
"Leave her alone. Let her keep what she has for the day of my burial. You will always have poor people with you, but you will not always have me."
A large number of people heard that Jesus was in Bethany, so they went there, not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from death. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus too, because on his account many Jews were rejecting him and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the Passover festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the King of Israel." Jesus found a donkey and rode on it, just as the scripture says, "Do not be afraid, city of Zion. Here comes your king, riding on a young donkey." His disciples did not understand this at the time, but when Jesus had been raised to glory, they remembered that the scripture said this about him, and that they had done this for him. The people who had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from death and reported what had happened, that was why the crowd met him, because they heard he had performed this miracle. Pharisees then said to one another,
"You see, we are not succeeding at all. Look, the whole world is following him."
Some Greeks were among those who had gone to Jerusalem to worship during the festival. They went to Philip, he was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and the two of them went and told Jesus.
"The hour has now come for the Son of Man to receive great glory. I'm telling you the truth. A grain of wheat remains no more than a single grain, unless it is dropped into the ground and dies. Those who love their own life will lose it. Those who hate their own life in this world will keep it for life eternal. Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be with me where I am, and my Father will honor anyone who serves me.
Not for my sake that this voice spoke, but for yours. Now is the time for this world to be judged. Now the ruler of this world will be overthrown. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to me.
In saying this, he indicated the kind of death he was going to suffer.
Our Lord tells us that the Messiah will live forever. How then can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?
Light will be among you a little longer.
Continue on your way while you have the light, so that the darkness will not come upon you. For the one who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Believe in the light then while you have it, so that you will be the people of the light.
After Jesus said this, he went off and hid himself for a while. Even though he had performed all these miracles in their presence, they did not believe in him, so that what the prophet Isaiah had said might come true. Lord, who believed the message we told? To whom did the Lord reveal his power? And so they were not able to believe, because Isaiah also said, God has blinded their eyes and closed their minds, so that their eyes would not see and their minds would not understand, and they would not turn to me, says God, for me to heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Even then, many of the Jewish authorities believed in Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not talk about it openly, so as not to be expelled from the synagogue. They loved human approval rather than the approval of God. Jesus said in a loud voice,
"Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in him who sent me. Whoever sees me sees also him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness. If people hear my message and do not obey it, I will not judge them. I came not to judge the world, but to save it. Those who reject me and do not accept my message have one who will judge them. The words I have spoken will be their judge on the last day. This is true, because I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has commanded me what I must say and speak. And I know that his command brings eternal life. What I say then is what the Father has told me to say."
It was now the day.
Jesus said, "For this hour I have come, the plan and purpose of God. From before time, God had a detailed plan to save mankind from sin through the death of Jesus on a cross in Jerusalem. Palm Sunday was part of that plan to present Jesus as a public sacrifice for sin. Now, Acts 4, verse 12 tells us there is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is coming a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11. If for those who have accepted Christ, that worship will be real. The Apostle John records a scene in heaven featuring praise and celebration to the risen Lord. Revelation 7, verse 9 reads, "There before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. These palm-bearing saints shout in verse 10, salvation belongs to our God who sits onto the throne and to the Lamb." So think of this picture in heaven. Every people, every tribe, every language represented. That as we were told to do, to go out and share the gospel with all people, we see that fulfillment. So the question today is, am I going to be part of that crowd? Wearing the white robes, waving the palm before the risen Lord. As our praise team brings a song of invitation, I know you've heard me say this before. Three things that will never change. The first is that people need people. We need one another. We need each other's support. We need our fellowship. We need our strength. We draw strength from one another. The second thing that will never change is that people matter to God. Max Lucado said, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. We see the cross, and we see that people matter to God. The third thing that will never change is that people need Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. There is no other way. There is no other road to salvation. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father by me. So we extend an invitation today, whatever that need is. If it's to come and know Jesus for the first time, if it's to come and just pray about some need, whatever it is, the altar is open.
Let's all stand, please.
Prepare.